Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The NCAA Tournament Bracket Breakdown Preview and Reactions episode of the Big 12 Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head over to cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. Promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus today. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times. NBA, NHL, college hoops, and more. Sign up today using the promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match today. And we're brought to you by SGPN subscriber only March Madness Bankroll Challenge. Free to enter, up to $2,000 in prizes. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. And last but not least, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting research platform for parlays, props, and game lines. Download that Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use that promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Everybody to the Big 12 College Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Sunday, March 17th. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Happy St. Paddy's Day. It is the best day of the year because it means not just St. Paddy's Day, but hey, we got a bracket. We're breaking it down region by region. Big 12 base, baby. If you're wondering who's screaming at you right now in a green shirt, aka the Leprechaun, I am Moneyline Mac, and we're talking Big 12 hoops, so I'm joined by walking contradiction because he was born in Provo, Utah. He's got family in Ames, Iowa. He lives in Morgantown, West Virginia. He is the co-host of the Ryan and Rush Show, Rambling Rush. Rush, what's up, man?
I know everyone's talking Selection Sunday right now and how quickly conference tournaments end and we go into Selection Sunday. But, hey, shout out to the show. We gave out that plus 490 Iowa State to win the conference tourney before it came out. So, hopefully you all cashed in on a nice little payday, and it was a great tournament season, man. As it always, a great appetizer, but Selection Sunday is here, and it's a brand new season.
Indeed it is, and shout out to us giving out Iowa State. It didn't really mean anything because I think they went backwards in their seed line. The only team in America that wins by fucking 30 and goes backwards in the seed line. So, Cyclone fans, don't worry. We got you back on this show. But, hey, third man in the box. You guys know him as a six-time Zen champion. He's fighting a family civil war in Norman, Oklahoma. Stillwater, Oklahoma. Waco, Texas. Fort Worth, Texas. You guys know him as a Big 12 guru, a.k.a. the green mowing, weed growing, Troy Tuning. What's up, man?
What's going on? We also almost had a sweet ending to the golf tournament. If Wyndham Clark's fucking putt didn't lip out there on 18, we would have gotten a sweet playoff between him and Scotty. But also shout out to Scotty fighting through conference championship week, neck injury, and just playing on Friday and Saturday. just kind of hacking the ball out into the middle, not really going for too much, and then shoot the 64 on Sunday to win. But yeah, it seemed like the selection committee was also watching the players instead of some of the conference tournaments over the weekend. Because what an atrocity for Iowa State to beat the best team in the country. Or like I've been saying, even if they're not the best and UConn's the best, Houston's the second best. And you go in there, I know you got the home court advantage in Hilton South, but you beat them by 30. You shove their game directly back in their fucking face and you put them in UConn's fucking region.
Like what? I'm speechless.
I would have almost been okay with them putting them as the two in Houston's region and being like, hey, sort it out yourselves. But man, that's crazy that these teams won their conference tournaments and whatnot. And were given, you know, like, oh, well, we had a slot open in case one of the bad teams in your conference won. So we'll just give you that.
And for them to have the audacity to say that they're the eighth team overall when they have 10 quad one wins. They beat Houston 2 out of 3. They should have been the fourth one seed. Yeah, in the back of my mind, I think we can all agree we were pushing for it, especially me. But we knew what we were against. We were against the blue blood. We were against North Carolina. We were against the establishment, unfortunately. And I'm like, all right, if we don't get the one seed, we'll get them in the same region with North Carolina, because I think Iowa State's better than North Carolina. If you watch the two teams, I think anybody would agree on that. But I mean, how the hell are you going to say Iowa State is behind Arizona and Tennessee as well? And Marquette, all the teams that lost this weekend. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Why do we even play these conference tournaments? If we're going to, there's no value on it. Rush, your takeaway.
Yeah. These things feel like they're already kind of decided Wednesday for the head of the committee to be up. We were up till 2 a.m. You were up till 2 a.m. and you came up with that bracket. Troy and I were talking about it before the show, and this is what they're doing. Like, this is almost intentional. They know what they're doing. They want it to 96 teams. Yeah. And so they like, if it was like, okay, that bracket's right, then no one would ever be like, oh, we need more. They want to start this tournament on Tuesday and Wednesday. They want it 96 teams. You already have teams like St. John's and Pitt saying they're not going to the NIT. So the NIT is basically going to fold here. You have schools that don't even want to go to that anymore. This is where that's leading to. And of course we see it with college football. Now they're going to 14 teams, 12 next year. But then, so it's just, it's money. It's you create problems and then selling the solutions. Hey, it's what the NCAA does.
And Rush, to add on to it, which league really got fucked the worst? Big East. They don't have football.
Oh, yeah.
I think it indirectly, it always goes back to football. It's the SEC and Big Ten are trying to fucking create this NFC, AFC bullshit model that isn't college athletics. I mean, well, I know we're Big 12, but how the hell is Michigan State safely in? I know that Tom Izzo's are.
I didn't understand that
anything.
Either.
They haven't done anything. Florida Atlantic hasn't done anything. They beat Arizona one time. They also lost to Bryant and fucking Temple, who was fucking betting on games half their fucking season. Dayton, how are they in? How, like, and to come back to the Big 12, I thought one of our teams mismanaged the stretch down or mismanaged the last stretch of the season. I thought Porter Moser and Oklahoma were too conservative. I thought they were in.
I agree with that.
And they assumed that they were in. They didn't account for the bid stealers. I know it was a chaotic Oregon winning the Pac-12, NC State winning the ACC, UAB winning the American, Duquesne winning the A-10. So there's four bid stealers right there, but I thought Oklahoma really mismanaged this. Troy, you're an Oklahoma fan. You got to be a little disappointed because, I mean, they were locked 2 weeks ago and they're not dancing.
We were kind of talking before the show that it almost seems like Porter Moser knew that they were playing way better than they had the ability to do so in the beginning of the year. And they definitely played with a real short leash on how much how aggressive they wanted to be. And they kind of played for that lock. Obviously that's not something you really want to do, but I don't know if Oklahoma has the talent to have done anything differently than they did. Maybe just try to hang on and hope for not as much chaos. But See, like them not getting in the tournament doesn't really drive me nuts. When you watch them play basketball, you can convince yourself that they're not really a tournament team. Some of these other teams that got left out, like, I mean, I would say, you know, Pitt and Providence, and those schools are they're probably beating Oklahoma pretty consistently.
Seton Hall
for sure.
Johns.
So, you know, if you are going to rest your guys and play like you're a lock, it's almost always going to come back to haunt you.
Yeah. Rush, your thoughts? I know OU's collapse.
So, yeah, I felt there was a lot of conservative play there. Obviously, there were headlines going around towards the end of it. If Porter Moser was even going to be around, obviously he's staying. They're going to the SEC. I guess at the time we kind of assumed – we hinted at it, but I didn't think we fully assumed. We were more concerned about TCU winning that game start Big 12 play than Oklahoma. And it sounds like it probably would have been better if Oklahoma would have won that game. Maybe that game was the elimination game right there.
Did they beat them though?
No.
That's what I was thinking, that they rested their guys because they're like, it was a bad matchup for them, and they tried to take the coward way out and say, oh, let's rest our guys.
Give themselves an excuse. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, that is a fair point. I think Oklahoma and Kansas State are still better than a lot of these other teams that are in. But in terms of the long term, I guess, because where does this league go from here next year with 16 teams in the Pac-12 folding? It is maybe good for the long term that, you know, Colorado being in there more than just getting Arizona, that we also have another team. So hopefully that evens it out. Yeah, maybe it is better that Colorado's coming in and Oklahoma's leaving for Colorado to be in there, for example. So half glass full.
I didn't think about
these
that.
Teams,
so Big 12 ends up winning. Good point.
These teams need to
these
teams need to keep in mind that the first two rounds of the conference tournament are like, if you come out and you just blow a team out in the first round of your conference tournament, the selection committee is just going to slot you in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't. It doesn't matter that you make it to the semis or the championship, unless you're, you know, completely out and you have to win to get in. If you show up, you know, you play a Wednesday night game and you blow a team out, the selection committee, that could be the last game they watch of the week.
Do you think we put too much attention into, like, do you think the committee does have a point?
Well, I mean, it's not like the conference tournaments really do mean all that much.
I think they should, because I think it's right before the most important time of the year. And if you beat number one in the country and you beat them convincingly, I think that should move the needle, especially when you beat Baylor the night before. I think that should mean something.
I definitely think that the some of those games, like, you know, Wisconsin hits a floater at the end to beat a pretty high-ranked team in Purdue. Mm-hmm. That maybe shouldn't matter as much. You know, you're going to get close games in tournament basketball even when the team doesn't really match up well. Sometimes things just go in a manner where the game ends up close. But when you blow out teams and you handle Baylor easily and then you blow the living shit out of Houston, there should have been at least some discussion about them being the fourth one seed. Now, I know, like you said, they're not gonna get it, but the fact that there wasn't even any talk about it was very telling.
Let me ask you this.
I mean, Iowa State wins the ACC, right?
Oh, God. Let me hit
that. So what are we even talking about?
let me hit that read real quick. They win almost every other league in America other than the Big East. Maybe the Big Ten, because Purdue's really good. But real quick, 50% off everything in Merch Madness, promo code SGPN. We got a bunch of stuff over at Merch Madness. For example, my St. Patty's shirt, over under 17.5 beers. I'm closing in on the over. It's only 6 o'clock Vegas time. Time change. You know, the over is trending very nicely. So get on over there. Get your merch. Get an Eat Shit Pitch shirt. Those fucking cowards fucking opted out of the NIT. So predictable that they would be the first ass bitch institution that would do that. West Virginia and Pitt finished with the same amount of postseason appearances and wins this year.
Yeah.
Despite a travesty year for us. So shout out to Pitt for being the cowards that they are. But yeah, and don't worry, we're also having a March Madness SGPN subscriber only contest. Contest is free and to enter subscribers on the SGPN show. For every SGPN show you're subscribed to, you'll get a bonus credit to use in the contest. It's a bankroll style contest, and the winner gets $1,000 in prizes or $2,000 if you're subscribed to the Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. Get on over there, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. And we're brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available 40 states. Go head-to-head with your friends, peers, your enemies, your dog, your cat, your fucking wall. I don't know who you want to bet against, but get on over there. Get over to Cut. Go head-to-head and you put your money where your mouth is. Download the Cut app today in the App Store over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. And use that promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus today. And we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long with Underdog. Troy, I know we don't have that much cooked up. Are you looking at anything? No, nothing's out yet.
Yeah. Nothing's really out yet. Was super high on the on Matsuyama's plays all weekend long, and just looking forward to the Masters. I'll probably you know, put a couple of those out here, but don't really have anything for any of the tournament stuff yet.
Agreed. Yep. All right. So get on over there. Follow at Troy Tuning if you want some Underdog plays. That's where we're going to plug tonight. We can't plug any plays because we don't have any games. Brackets, they're breaking down the lines right now.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, get on over there, higher, lower, and pick, stack some winners on top of winners, baby. And... yeah, Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. All right, we are back on the Big 12 College Experience, and I was going to pose this question for you. Is Iowa State still the most slept-on team in the country, Raj? Nobody's talking about it. They beat Houston by 30.
Yeah, they, with such a quick turnaround for Selection Sunday, they didn't really make the headlines too heavy. Of course, Saturday night was St. Patrick's Day, but that's also not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, Houston's still under the radar too. Actually, let me say this, because I meant to bring this up, because I know we had our opening, but we're kind of moved on to Selection Sunday. I said it when Houston lost by 30. I said that's going to be the best thing to ever happen to them. I'm still very high on Houston winning this thing. I think it was good to get humbled. It was because let's think about this too. And this is why I asked the question earlier about, hey, do we maybe, like, there should be some emphasis on the tournament, like conference tournaments, but do we put too much? Because what's unique about conference tournaments? You're playing those games every day, right? Even when you get to March Madness, you get a day break. And then if you win again, you get a week break and, you know, a reset. So there's time. And, you know, during the regular season, at most, you may play Saturday, then big Monday, but you still get a break, you know, on Sunday, right? So, like, it's very – what NC State did in the ACC was incredible. Like, that doesn't happen because you're playing four games in a row.
Yeah.
So, when you take it from Houston's standpoint – and I know they got the double bye, so did Iowa State. They played the same amount of games. But when you're on day three of games, that's a unique situation that you're only going to face that time that season. And, Ryan, you and me talked about it. Like, it would be good for Houston to get this loss. Like, so I really, like, because of that situation and how it played out, I'm very high on Houston. Of course, I'm very high on Iowa State as well for what they were able to do about it. But I think it's more than people are sleeping on Iowa State. I think Houston's being slept on. I think it's another. I think the fact that there weren't nine Big 12 teams, I think the best conference in the world still keeps getting slept on. And I don't think it's a coincidence either that all our games are on ESPN Plus, while the ACC, you still see all their games on ESPN, ESPN2. It's kind of the arguments you were saying with the Big East and Mountain West. It's like, does the committee even watch more than the mainstream games?
No.
The ACC games that they want to shove down their throat?
That's just to get money. Like, there's more people on the East Coast than there are in Middle America. Like, believe it or not, they're still trying to turn a profit. And, like, more people are going to watch UNC when they're bad than are going to watch Iowa State when they're the best team in the country. Just plain and simple. It doesn't – that's just based on viewership.
Sure, but there's better ACC – like, there's better matchups that I know are going on, like, in the ACC.
100%, but it doesn't – like, if Alabama football has a chance to be on TV, they're going to be on TV because everyone watches Alabama football. It's not something that, like, I don't disagree with your point. I'm just the reason why they do it is just monetary. It's not because they don't want to show the Big 12 or something like that.
Sure. I do agree with you, Troy. But I think there's examples of, like, Baylor playing Texas Tech where that's on ESPN Plus when you got Vanderbilt playing Florida that's on ESPN2 or ESPN News and what you, but what that does, it creates this domino effect because, okay, yeah, maybe it's a little about money, contracts, that sort of thing. And if it was just that, okay, fine. But this thing has a, like, not as, you don't get as many eyes on, and the committee feels that way, and the money's coming in from that way. It creates this domino effect. So that was a very long, drawn out answer for yes, Iowa State and Houston and all these Big 12 schools are being slept on. And it's frustrating and it's annoying. So we're just going to have to kick ass again in this tournament.
Agreed. I'm not going to lie. I really like all these guys' draws. I was looking
a couple of the draws look like cakewalks and not like, obviously it's still the tournament and nothing's going to be that much of a cakewalk, but you know, you look at like the path that Florida Atlantic had, or like Fairleigh Dickinson getting a 13 seed in the second round or something like that. Like, you're not going to see much. I mean, you're still going to see that, but the difference is when an 11 or a 10 seed advances this year, those are teams that probably shouldn't have been 11 and 10 seeds in the first place.
My biggest concern with for example Houston is health.
That's the
injury to Roberts. They got to get him back. Shedd got banged up.
Tugler's done.
Kansas, for example, I think people are sleeping on Kansas. I think people forgot how good Kansas was in the non-conference. You look at it. They beat UConn. They beat Tennessee. They beat almost everybody. They got banged up in Big 12 play. Bill took it on the chin. He said, beat my ass in Big 12 play and beat my ass in Kansas City, Cincinnati. They're going to get their guys back. I kind of think Kansas is a good team that could kind of sleepwalk and maybe get to an Elite Eight or Final Four. I mean, would you be shocked if Kansas got to a Final Four rush?
Yes, I would.
You would?
I'm with you. I think Kansas, yes, being slept on, and maybe I'm actually one of those sleepers. We'll see if their guys come back healthy. And I think they have so many variables that we still have to figure out. I think we'll know. So, but here's what I will say about Kansas is I think we will know in the first half when they play Samson what Kansas team we're dealing with. Like, maybe they just come out guns a blaze and we're tired of.
They've never had this much rest. They've never had this much rest.
It's really unique. I know.
They're doing what Scott Drew did in 2021.
Yeah.
They're doing exactly what Scott Drew did in 2021. Is like, we know when we play our best, we're still going to beat all these teams. It just comes down to whether we're going to play our best or not. Might as well rest and hope for it. Because at what point do winning the Big 12 title for Bill Self just become like, you know, like it's not even, obviously you're still trying to win your regular season and your conference championship and whatnot in the tournament, but you do it so many times, it just becomes numbing. Bill Self is at the point now where it's like, I don't want to make $1,000 bets anymore. I only want to make $10,000 bets. Like nothing really gets me going other than the NCAA tournament.
Let's get a little more structure. Let's go region by region. The East. We already talked about how Iowa State was slept on. They're the 2 seed. Rush, your BYU Cougars are 6 seed. They're going to play Duquesne. Iowa State actually has a weird matchup because they're playing South Dakota State, which is TJ Altenberger's former team.
Yeah.
Rush, give me a tough game. Give me a ceiling and a floor for those two teams.
Let's see. So let me pull up.
Because we're going to pick each game.
So the floor for BYU is
Well,
Duquesne,
not right now.
Duquesne beats them.
Not right now. Well, we're going to pick the game on Tuesday or Wednesday, and we're going to break down each matchup more in depth. But just like a ceiling and floor of each team and whether the team's worth investing in a future on right now.
I mean, I'll go ahead because I had the bracket pulled up and everything. But like the floor for BYU is Duquesne beats them. But the ceiling for BYU is they get a chance to go to the Final Four. There's like, it's just like Rush always says, if they can get through that first game, they match up pretty well, I would say, against Illinois. They could probably shoot the ball over in them. I know they're old. I know they're staples, but you get to this point of the year and those old staples, that strategy sometimes plays dividends, you know, like UVA won a fucking NCAA tournament playing old man staple basketball and just sticking to it. Like, if that's what you do, that's what you do. You chuck them and you play fucking staple basketball. I wouldn't be surprised to see BYU go on a bit of a run, get a chance at Iowa State again, which would be awesome. A pretty cool matchup. I would say Iowa State has a chance to lose if Drake beats Washington State. I could see Drake beating Iowa State. Yeah. If they get the matchup against Washington State, they'll win that game. And then, you know, your ceiling and floor meets an intersection there between BYU and Iowa State.
Rush.
Yeah, this is a really good draw for BYU. The Duquesne game, I don't think this is that traditional 6-11 game that usually you have to worry about that 11 seed knocking them off. I'm not scared to play Illinois at all. Who knows? Illinois may not get past Morehead State. We've seen it before. What was it, back in 21 when they won the Big Ten? They lost
the bubble. When did they lost lose? To Loyola. They lost to Loyola Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. They did. They lost. Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen this before. Illinois doesn't scare me. And yeah, if Iowa State, BYU playing in the Sweet 16 could, I mean,
that can go any direction because of how familiar they are.
BYU beat them in Provo, had a real good shot at beating them in Hilton. I'll play Iowa State again.
So we had to do a long shot for on the main SGP show or TCE show before this. I gave out BYU as a Final Four contender. I truly believe if they can the games that worry me the most are the round of 64 and the Sweet 16 because I think their style of play is so unique with the way that they shoot they get up and down, shoot threes, and honestly, we've sold them short on the defensive end. Their advanced metrics are really good. I think it's just because it's a bunch of white Mormons and they look unathletic. They're tougher than they appear. They're 24 and 25 years old. That's what I think people forget about. So I actually think BYU is a great upside play, and they've played in the Big 12 where they're going to be battle tested. They won at the Fog. They almost won in Ames. They've played every other team. They beat San Diego State in the non-con. They're battle tested, Troy.
I was going to say, even Dub V beat Duquesne, right?
No, we didn't play Duquesne this year.
Yeah, we didn't play him this year.
We played him in football. I think the ceiling for BYU is the Final Four, honestly. I think the floor is the round of 64 if they can't make a shot. But I'm with you, Rush. I don't think they're going to play bad because they got that loss out of the way where they couldn't make a shot against Texas Tech. I think they play well. I think they get to the Sweet 16. Iowa State, I agree with you, Troy. They could lose a Drake. I don't think they will. I think their ceiling's national championship. I think they're national championship good. I think people are still sleeping on the team because it's a Midwest, grind it out, guard the shit out of you style of play.
Well, I mean, if you beat UConn, then you immediately jump to the front of the contenders, right? Like, if mm-hmm. they're able to get past BYU and they get matched up with UConn and they – I mean, nobody's even gotten within 10 of UConn in a tournament game yet. So,
no.
That's the only reason why I would – if you were going to bet Iowa State to go to the national championship, you might want to split it up so you can cash half of it out in before the matchup against UConn. You can let some of it ride, but cash half of it out or something like that. But BYU just being, you know, their whole game changes when they switch big men. And when Ali Khalifa comes in and starts passing out of the high post, everything is completely different and your team has to be ready to adjust to that.
The problem is they play at 12:40. He's going to be fasting. There's always something. It's Brandon Davies having sex, Khalifa, Ramadan. There's just always something with BYU.
Do we have Ramadan rules on like IVs? Like, are we allowed right before the sun comes up? Are we allowed to pump him with like five bags of IVs?
You could do anything. You could do anything, I think, before the sun. If the sun's out, you can't drink or eat. That's all I know.
So we got to get him at like 5:40 in the morning on his third or fourth IV bag.
That's probably what they're doing.
And then like, sorry, dude, you're gonna have to drink four protein shakes right now, like within the next 5 minutes before the sun comes up, and then hopefully that keeps you going for hours. But yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's crazy.
You know what's crazy? Baylor's got a hell of a draw, dude. Baylor could get to the Final Four. I was the more and more I looked at their bracket. They're the 3 seed. They got Colgate. They will play the winner of Clemson, New Mexico. That's going to be interesting. But at the same time, Arizona's the 2 seed. They've shown kinks in the armor. We talked about it. Carolina's an overrated 1 seed. Troy, your Baylor Bears, floor, ceiling.
Well, I think the Colgate game will be a 3-point shootout, which really favors Baylor. So I don't want to say that it's a guaranteed win because it's still a tournament game, but I do think Baylor will move on in that Colgate matchup. New Mexico scares me. They're not an 11 seed. They're a 6 seed. Like we were saying before the show, if this was Clemson at the 11 line and New Mexico at the 6, I wouldn't be shocked. That's actually probably what it should be like. So their floor is that loss to New Mexico on the first weekend of tournament play. But if they're able to get past New Mexico, you know, I would almost be willing to say that Nevada is scarier than Arizona in that part of the bracket. But if they get past New Mexico, I could see them making the Final Four. I could see them getting revenge on North Carolina.
Rush, what do you think of Baylor? I love Baylor.
Hey, yeah, I mean, only they stand alone in the Big 12 on that side of the bracket till Arizona joins next year. They got a great draw. They did take care of the Big 12 in terms of matchups. There's no reason Baylor can't be in the Final Four with this draw. There's no reason at all. It's we know Arizona. They love to choke. I can see. Didn't this happen a couple years ago? Is Roy Williams' last game? Didn't they lose in the round? What happened? I might be mixing it up, but I could see. That's right. I could see Michigan State knocking off North Carolina in the second round. I could see chaos in this and Baylor just sliding their way right into the Final Four.
I could also see Mississippi State beating Michigan State by about 15 points in the first round.
I could see that too. I'm not a believer in Sparty, but ceiling, can Baylor win the national championship? I don't know if they can win it, but I think they can get to the Final Four.
I don't know if they can win it. But if they go through two weekends and don't lose a game, they must be shooting the ball pretty well, which would then immediately qualify them to be able to win it. So, but yeah, when you look at it from a bigger picture, I wouldn't be comfortable betting them past the Final Four. Like if you were looking at any kind of a future and you just wanted to take a team to like win their region, I don't think I would go further than that for Baylor.
Agreed. Rush?
They're a ceiling Final Four.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we ceiling Iowa State to get it done all the way. Baylor, Final Four. BYU, we think, can get to Elite Eight, maybe Final Four if they make all their threes. I know Rush is hesitant with his fasting Mormons. But real quick, we got to talk about game time.
Fasting Muslims.
Yeah, fasting Muslims. And Brandon Davies. Shout out to Brandon Davies once upon a time. he got laid and he ruined the Final Four year. He ruined Jimmer. Game time is the place to play. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. There's plenty of games to get to across the country. So get on over there, flash tickets right to your fucking seats. Can't beat it, baby. Sign tickets without stress with Game Time. Download that Game Time app, create an account, use a promo code SGPM for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code SGPM for $20 off. Download the Game Time app. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And we're brought to you by, well, Manscaped. Top of the morning to y'all. The episode is brought to you by the Shamrock Shaker. Manscaped dad was chasing that rainbow, make a little pot of gold with your little leprechaun below the tip with the kilt. Say goodbye to your clover forest and get over there to Manscaped with the Lawnmower 5.0 and let your confidence shine bright. Embrace the luck of the Irish and join over 10 million men worldwide with Manscaped. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/manscaped with the code SGPN. $20 off, free shipping, manscaped.com. The absolute best. It's 20% off free shipping with code SGPN at manscaped.com. That is a 20% off free shipping, code SGPN at manscaped.com. This is St. Patty's Day today, baby. 317. Make sure your little leprechaun, hairy little leprechaun that is luckier than ever with Manscaped. All right, let's transition over to the South where we got the Houston Cougars as a 1 seed, the Texas Tech Red Raiders as a 6 seed. We all agree Houston's going to get back on track. That's what Kelvin Sampson does.
Houston's going to manscape Longwood.
Oh, dude, that's what I said. I said, oh, God, I wouldn't want to be Longwood right now playing fucking Houston after that. Yeah. Good luck, Manscaped. Who does Houston get when they win the first round?
Nebraska or A&M.
Ooh.
Which is okay. If they get Nebraska, they'll be able to prevent them from shooting.
True.
Little short Asian boy ain't going to get too many shots up against Houston.
You're going to fuck Talmadge up. Dude, I hope Houston gets Duke in the fucking Sweet 16. They'll fuck Duke up. Rush, your thoughts on Houston?
Watch for Vermont.
I hope so. What's your thoughts on the path?
Dude, they're the 1 seed. There's always the clear shot to make it. This is my team. I'm going to stand behind them. A couple things could change these next couple of days. I know we'll do our final picks here on Tuesday, Wednesday. But, I mean, I'm not big on Marquette either. I like the 2 seed. You're not a big fan of Kentucky. You could see that Oakland beating Kentucky there. I think Houston's biggest problem is if Texas Tech wins a couple and they have to play Texas mm-hmm. Tech again and they kill Texas mm-hmm. Tech. Like I kind of see that collision course happening.
Is there any chance they lose to Nebraska or A&M? Maybe A&M. Maybe because they've already played them. A&M seen them, but I don't think so. I would say I'd say the floor is Sweet 16. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah,
I think so. I think the floor is Sweet 16. Maybe Duke could get them, but I wouldn't. If it's anybody but Duke, I wouldn't be too worried about it. Yeah, the biggest threat to Houston in this entire bracket is the Texas Tech Red Raiders. I would say I'm a little bit higher on Marquette. if Tyler Kolek is playing, Marquette's a completely different team, and I'm a little higher on them. Florida can really score the basketball. Kentucky can really score the basketball, but neither play fucking defense, which you're playing right into Houston's game if you try to do that. I mean, you just saw how to beat Houston. You have to take their game and shove it right back in their face like Iowa State does. And besides that, you're going to get rolled. There's going to be, you know, eight-minute periods where you just don't score and get frustrated. Obviously, Houston's ceiling is the national championship.
Yeah. Good transition, because I want to talk about Tech. I think we all agree. I think we all think they're going to win the national championship. I don't know if Troy is officially picking them. I haven't officially picked them yet. Dude, I like Texas Tech. I think they're going to fuck NC State up. I think NC State's coming off
yeah.
5 days. Everybody's freaking blowing them.
5 wins.
Yeah.
I think
that culture.
Which is incredible.
Do you have to shout out NC State? They have fully surpassed the Washington Wizards win total at Capital One Arena this year in 5 days. The Wizards have four home wins this year.
That is great.
And also to clear things up, I had a future on Houston from 3 days after the national championship last year. So I will probably be picking them to win. Have definitely doubled up on that for the lucrative cash out opportunities. I do think NC State could be a tougher matchup for Tech, but I think, you know, they get through that game. I would see Texas Tech's scrappiness really causing some issues for Kentucky.
What if I told you that NC State is currently the most public dog? That's not surprising at all. I was looking at the money splits just early on. Everybody's going to talk themselves into NC State. People don't realize how good Texas Tech is.
Texas Tech's going to win by 20.
I think so too. I think they just wear them down with their physicality. And their culture and coaching. I always, what could happen, what could be Iowa State and Pitt, where the team that's really tough just literally cannot make a shot that day and they play tight and they lose 58-42 or whatever. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Tech's got some veterans too. What's the ceiling for Tech? I think they can get to the Elite Eight. I don't think Kentucky Elite wants eight. Any part of this team, man.
If they make the Elite Eight and they have to play Houston,
got to win first.
And their ceiling is still the Final Four. Just because you have familiarity with these teams, if they get to play Houston again, it's one of those, you know Houston's a better team. You know that they can beat the living shit out of them, but none of that really matters in a single elimination bracket. You kind of throw that out the door. I do think Marquette could threaten them. I really do. I think just because they'll be able to play them on rest and a week off before, well, I guess what, 5 days off before they have to play them again. And for that, like, I think that would play a little bit into Marquette's hands. But yeah, just seeing, you know, Boise State could ruin all that. Boise State could easily beat Florida and Marquette.
Houston got the best bracket, man.
Houston got the competition in their bracket that I would have expected UConn to get.
Yeah. Yep.
I agree.
All right, so we agree. Houston, Texas Tech. I mean, this is the weakest region. Houston's got a nice spot. Let's go to the region that's got all three of our teams in here. We got Kansas as the 4 seed, Texas horns down to 7. And don't sleep on them frogs up there in the 9 hole. Rush. What about these frogs in the 9 hole? Are they sneaky there?
Yeah, I would be more worried for them playing Utah State than I would be Purdue. I think this is the classic case. If you can beat Utah State, then you can beat Purdue. Purdue, dude, I'm not – I know they're a great team, Zach Edey's incredible, but they're just I see them as just beatable. Like they get to this time of year every year, and it's just they're out again. Like, you know, it's TCU's got to beat Utah State. I think that game's going to be the best 8-9 game. I think that game's going to be incredible. I think winner of that game if Utah State wins, Purdue beats Utah State. But if TCU wins, I think anything Purdue's can happen.
For a war. I'm with you. Troy, you agree with that?
Yeah, and just watching the Purdue-Wisconsin game, all the way up until about the four-minute mark left in the second half, Purdue didn't – they didn't revert to the, we're just going to drop it off to Zach Edey and, you know, he's going to get a foul called on him because we have Big Ten refs. And they were, you know, kind of kicking the ball out and making some threes. And then they got bailed out by the refs on like four straight trips down the floor on some of the softest calls I've seen on Zach Edey, that you will not get those calls in the NCAA tournament. That's the reason why Purdue shows up and falls apart. And that scared me. They reverted back to the old, we're just going to dump it to our tall, lanky, unathletic fuck. Man, pretty similar. I think frogs are high for a run here. I think frogs are going to get some help too in the Kansas area of the bracket, because if they get to play Kansas again, you know, familiarity, but I think they're going to get matched up with McNeese State. I think McNeese State is about to beat Gonzaga and Kansas in back-to-back matchups.
I was going to say, we got some trendy dogs in this one. Rush, are you buying into Samford being a live dog against Kansas?
Yes, I am. I think we talked about it earlier on this. You might be right, Ryan, where they've had this much rest. They don't have a deep bench. There are Kansas. Like, now it's the time to figure it out. But maybe they don't. Like, maybe they just – this just isn't it. There's just too much injury, not enough depth. Like, they're just kind of in over their heads this season compared to a typical Kansas team. I need to think of – this is one I need to kind of sit on a little longer, because, you know, we all have our instant reactions like, ooh, yeah. I like that matchup. And then a couple days go on, we get a couple nights sleep. I'm glad we don't have to make a bracket right away, right? And you think about things a little more. You see where all the public's going to. And so this is definitely one like I have to come back to. But as of now, I'm not – I mean, we see these 4-13 games, like 114 seed's going to win, and one at least 114 seed will win, and at least 113 seed will win. It all happens all the time. And then probably 212s, and then maybe a 15. What? Haven't 315s won in a row?
Two? Yeah.
Because I think so.
I don't think a 15 won. Oh, yeah. Princeton won last year, and then St. Pete the year before. And then Oral Roberts.
Oral Roberts went to the Sweet 16. St. Pete went to the Elite Eight. I mean, that's what I'm saying, man. It's kind of this time. And I don't know where the public's going to be on this. So this is a wait and see game for me. Definitely a wait and see game.
I'm going to make the bold prediction. Kansas is going to blow Samford out. I think that's going to be the blowout that everybody's going to be like, man, I can't believe there's one every year where you're like, this is my dog. And everybody's going to be like, I cannot believe I talked.
Yeah. Samford is the Colgate of this year.
Yeah. I can't believe I talked myself into Oral Roberts beating Duke. And then they just get drilled by 25. I think Samford's that team that you're at. I think Kansas is going to fucking drill them by 20.
I do think this Midwest bracket is going to be littered with upsets though.
I agree. What do we think of Texas in the bottom half? That's the only team we haven't talked.
That's the one that I'm worried about, because both Virginia and Colorado State, Texas is one of those teams that's liable to lose to either one of those. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think Virginia's a tournament team, and we even talked about this before the show. They could beat Colorado State and Texas. I still don't think they're a tournament team. It's irrelevant once you get in, if you weren't supposed to be in the first place. But that being said, Colorado State's definitely more of a threat. You know, they beat Creighton. They can probably not completely match Texas athleticism, but they could at least get close. Whereas, even though Virginia is old and stapled, they just don't really have any of that star power that you need to push you through. So, as much as it's going to look like a weird matchup, I think Texas kind of rolls here against either one of those two teams. And then we get to see Rick Barnes against Texas, which will be very interesting.
Yeah. Rush, what do you think of that potential rematch? Rick Barnes against his former team, baby.
Very orange rematch.
Yeah, you could fuck Texas over one last time.
Yeah.
There you go.
Before seeing him as a league opponent on the regular.
That's true. It's a future matchup there. That would be good. I'm always big on, I got to figure out which, I'm used to the 11 seeds being the play-ins, I guess, because of the way it lined up this year, it's the 10 seeds, they're doing it. I usually get high on one of the play-in teams. Like, I'll pick the winner of that game to go to, like, the Sweet 16. I think sometimes that playing game gives you a little bit extra of a kick. But the thing is, I also highly disagree with these last four in, too. So maybe this is the year I don't do that. I put a lot more value on those Tuesday-Wednesday matchups than I think other people do.
I think if you're looking for one of those, Boise's your team.
Probably.
Like, if that's just the system you want to play or something like that.
Here's what scares me, that it's going to be Virginia, and then we're going to have to deal with all the Virginia people. Like, we told you.
Well, even if Virginia beats Texas, as long as St. Pete doesn't beat Tennessee, then the Tennessee defense can match Virginia's, like, defensive ability. And Tennessee can actually score. Compared to Virginia, but just to keep it on topic, if Texas is able to get past Tennessee somehow, you got to think that they would be matched up with Creighton. And we've seen Creighton throw some duds. We've seen Creighton try to play really, really fast, which, again, that's gonna really help Texas. So you get Max Asemus out there and the, you know, his favorite place to play is the NCAA tournament, and you ask him to start playing run and gun basketball, you're asking to get beat. I mean, you kind of got to slow that down, and Creighton doesn't really want to do that. So, you know, if they can get past Tennessee, I think that, you know, if Creighton makes it through, their draw would be okay. Now, with how good Oregon's playing, they look scary. South Carolina, pretty scary for them, but this whole bottom half of the Midwest bracket is kind of wide open for pretty much any team that's seeded in there.
Just what Kansas dialed up, right, Ryan?
Kansas will make a run, and then they'll get a matchup in the Elite Eight that's like Kansas versus South Carolina.
Yeah, that would be interesting. All right, guys.
Kansas versus Oregon.
Yeah.
KU versus Oregon, baby. Let's get out of here. We touch on the bracket. We're gonna pick our games, pick our sides here. I'll pick every Big 12 team, I can tell you already. we are the Big 12 College Experience. Rush, what we got going on?
One show is doing Selection Sunday. The Ryan and Rush show will be updating you on the coaching search at WU, so we can be back in Selection Sunday next year. By the way, quick side note, the women's basketball team for WU got absolutely hosed. They should have been like a 6 seed. They got an 8 seed, and if they win, then they have to play Caitlin Clark. So, good job. They got hosed.
Just get Caitlin Clark drunk on moonshine like 45 minutes before the game.
Just break her leg, you know. Just get out.
Give her the old Tanya Harding.
Yeah.
Troy, what do you got going on?
Probably just going to go straight to bed tonight. It's always good. What I do is I take one of the printable brackets with all the teams filled out, and I don't fill it in at all. I just look at it for almost 24 straight hours. I'll put it into my pillowcase and sleep with it on like the bottom part of my pillow, in hopes that it just like osmosises into the side of my brain and I can really understand the bracket. But yeah, we'll see. Some of these, there's a lot of benedicting that'll be going on up until about Tuesday or Wednesday, because these tournament games are crazy. There's really, I mean, if you go 55% picking tournament games with spreads, you're fucking awesome. Because these are the sharpest spreads. It's nuts. But it sure is a lot of fun to sit down and do that party trick where you just make beer disappear and you yell at the television. Man, this is the best weekend in the world coming up. Thursday through Sunday. Does it get better?
That it is, man. That it is.
I'm coming for your wife, Hasty.
We are the Big 12 College Experience. I am at Moneyline_Mac. He is at Troy Tuning. He is at Rambling Rush. Like I said, we are the Big 12 College Experience. We'll be here all week talking Big 12 hoops. Got a lot of games going. Happy bracket, everybody. Cheers. We made it. We made it to March Madness. And let's go. Let the games begin. And we will see you guys on Tuesday to break down each and every game. Each and every 8 games that we have. We're out of here, and let it ride.